Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is Doing It Anyway. We'll get to what that means here shortly. It's in relation to Chairman Jay Powell, Chairman of the Federal Reserve, his testimony this afternoon and before the Senate Banking Committee once again. He was solo this time. Last time it was with him and Steven Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury. He wasn't there. Just Jay Powell. What's Mnuchin going to tell us anyway? Right? What's he going to tell us? He's not going to tell us where the money's going. There is no transparency here. So what's he going to say? What's he going to answer? Well, I'm not going to tell you, Senator, where the money's going. I don't have to. You're not going to make me. And there, blah, 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 blah. Unbelievable. Now, there wasn't really much new learned during this testimony. It was the same song and dance that Jay Powell has been putting out there for the past few weeks. However, I do have to give credit to my senator for once and for all. Perhaps he actually read my letter. Perhaps he's listening to the Capital News. Because Senator Pat Toomey actually asked Jay Powell some tough questions. They're basic questions of the very nature that we bring up here all the time. And how did Jay Powell respond to them? Well, he was flat-footed. That's how simple, that's how basic this stuff is, folks. That's how easy it is to turn the tables on these people, but nobody wants to pay attention to them. Like we were talking about that joke of a tweet yesterday. All these people protesting in Washington, D.C., they have no idea where the Federal Reserve is. That's exactly how they want it. They don't want you focused on the big picture. They want you distracted by other issues. And those other issues might be very important. And a lot of times they are. But nonetheless, they are a distraction from the major, bigger picture. And we'll get to some of those questions. Market continued its rally today, up another 2% across the board. Again, it's the dear leader's birthday week, so stocks aren't allowed to go down. That might be the law anyway. But right now, overnight, futures trading, mixed bag. Dow is down about 0.2%. The S&P is flat. NASDAQ 100 is up 0.25%. Cash trade in Japan, stocks are down 0.5%, 1/2 or 1%, let's put it that way. Across the board in Europe today, stocks rallied bigly. Up 3.5 percentage points. Cash trade in Australia is also trading up 0.5% at the time of this podcast. Japanese exports plunged the most since 2009. Exports from Japan slumped 28.3% year over year in the month of May, compared with a market expectation of a decline of about 18 percentage points. Is anybody surprised by this? I mean, I guess we should all be surprised by this because all of our leaders and politicians and central bankers, they all tell us that the V-shaped recovery is real. It's taking place. Everything's fantastic. Everything's opening up. And then you get these types of numbers once again. And of course, you had a strong rebound in retail sales here in the United States, especially on a month-over-month basis. Month-over-month, as far as I'm concerned, is usually typically noise, especially with these types of series. When you have these major collapses like we have because of COVID-19, you're going to get a low base effect, meaning the next month's data is likely to rebound sharply. So you might have a negative record-setting number to the negative. One month, the very next, it could be record-breaking to the upside. Okay? That's basically the same thing that we witnessed a couple of weeks ago for the May jobs report, a record 2.5 million. But that we know that that was overcounted. We went through that. We know it's a joke. But nevertheless, you got that low base effect. It's easy to beat expectations. It's easy to have some type of record-breaking number to the upside when you just had a record-breaking number to the downside. However, when you look at things on a year-over-year basis, which is the better way to look at most data points, of course, it does depend on the series, but this one it does. It's still not a pretty picture, folks, and this should be no surprise. Now, to this audience, because we know what's going on here, these Japanese export numbers are no surprise to us either. because there is no V-shaped recovery. It's not going to happen like that. Sorry. It's just reality. It's not that I'm a pessimist. It's not that I'm a perma-bear, because I am neither of those things. I'm a realist. And you have to face the problems head on. You have to admit you have a problem before you can solve it. That's all I'm asking for here. Can we at least do that? And the answer is no. Not from any world leader, not from any central banker, not from any political party. They can't even admit that we have a problem. The only shared problem that they would ever say is the pandemic, which again is a very convenient excuse. They're not going to say, well, all this debt that we have, all of this spending, all of this living beyond our means. No, 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 that was never a problem. All of this governmental abuse and fraud and corruption, that's never a problem. There's nothing to see here. All of this money printing, all of this inflation that we are creating at the printing press, that's never a problem, and it's not going to be one. No, no, it's all because of this damn pandemic. How convenient. They get to sweep everything under the rug with this. On the commodity front, WTI is trading at $37.42. A barrel Brent, $40.20. Down because there was a surprise build in oil inventories. See, it's a surprise because everybody thought the recovery was well underway. So if that's the case, oil should be flying off the shelf. There shouldn't be any type of surprise build in inventories. But there is, because there isn't a V-shaped recovery. Natural gas, $1.62. Gold, $1,726 an ounce. Silver, $17.37 per ounce. Uncle Sam's 10-year Treasury junk note, yielding 0.73%. Been on a whipsaw ride here in the bond market, which is because, in my opinion, we are starting to see the cracks in this foundation that the Federal Reserve is losing control. And now this is all a confidence game. It's all a con job. If they can no longer control rates, that's it. It's game over. That day of reckoning will happen. Wish I could tell you when. Don't have that crystal ball. And they have a big megaphone, and you got a lot of crackheads on Wall Street continuing to believe their argument, continuing to believe that the Federal Reserve still has some type of ammunition. They don't. They don't. But I guess if enough people believe it, then that's some semblance of ammunition, and I guess we'll just have to live with that for the time being. But nonetheless, it's a con job. And when you, and maybe if you listen to Jay Powell today with his testimony before the Senate Banking Committee, finally some basic questions from my senator here from the state of Pennsylvania. And again, I don't know if it's because he read my letter, if he listens to the podcast. I hope he does. Hope he did read the letter. Because this is basic stuff. Because typically, Senator Toomey is a little bit more, he's all gung-ho for all this stuff. Yeah, let's keep doing it. Got to do it. Now he's asking some good questions. Why are you doing this, Mr. Powell? Why are you getting involved with purchasing corporate bonds? You just told us that the markets are properly operating, that they are functioning at a high level. If they're functioning at a high level, why would you have to come in and actually utilize one of these emergency policies, one of these emergency facilities? Great question. Basic. Common sense. If you have an emergency policy or facility that you might use in the event of emergency, it makes sense if you used it in an emergency. But when you tell us we're past the emergency, when you tell us that markets are functioning properly because of all of these other things that have been done from a fiscal standpoint, from a monetary standpoint, then why do you have to continue to use them, these emergency facilities? Oh, well, blah, 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 blah. It's a basic question. They can't answer it. Just because you say you're going to use one of these facilities doesn't mean you have to. Was a follow-up to the question, to the conversation by the senator. And again, I have to applaud him for that. And that's why the title of today's podcast is Doing It Anyway. Because the Fed doesn't have to do this. They don't have to utilize these emergency facilities. They don't have to go into the bond market, the corporate bond market on the secondary exchanges, on the secondary market. Because remember, there's the secondary market, which is where they're involved right now. And there's the primary market, meaning they're just going to buy it directly from these companies, these corporations, whoever they might be, whoever they deem eligible. Picking winners and losers. And Trump and Mnuchin and Kudlow, they're not going to tell us where the money's going. It's our money. We backstop it. It's your money. It's taxpayer dollars. And recall Mnuchin, the last time he testified with Jay Powell before this very Senate Banking Committee a few weeks ago, we discussed that here. Their projections on a net-net basis is that the Treasury is going to lose money. So we're going to spend, God only knows how much money, when this is all said and done. No accountability, no transparency. But net-net, we're going to end up losing money. So why do it? Why do it? All to save face, all to look like we're doing something like Herbert Hoover told us to do almost 100 years ago. Got to do something. And something turned a severe recession into the Great Depression. And that's exactly what's going to take place here. It's already underway. The greatest depression is already underway. Make no mistake about it. And every one of these policies that they continue to put out there from a monetary standpoint, from a fiscal standpoint, is only going to seal the fate of a Great Depression. Make no mistake about it. It's math. It's economics. It's history. It's all repeating. Because nobody wants to admit that we've made a mistake. Nobody wants to admit that what we have done is wrong. Nobody wants to tell anybody the truth. All of these senators, except for a couple here, obviously Senator Toomey, at least for once, asked a serious question, grew a spine. Basic stuff, too. But all the rest of them, they want to kiss his butt. Oh, thank you, Chairman Powell, for keeping everything alive, keeping everything floating up, 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 up. Same song and dance. Same song and dance. At least if Mnuchin was there, they would have attacked him. At least the Democrats would have, because they'd be trying to score political points. But at least they would ask some tough questions. The other one that Toomey brought up was what we discussed here the other day as well, when it came to the yield curve control, right? Because that's ruminating out there too. Ooh, well, we might do that next. We might try to control the yield curve, which is basically what they've been doing anyway. But now, really, we're getting serious. We're going to put caps on how high these yields can go across the yield curve. Whether it's a 3-month bill, a 1-month bill, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5, 7, 10, whatever. We're going to put a cap on it. Because, you know, that's free market capitalism. That's what the cap stands for in capitalism. We're going to put a cap on something. Of course, that's not what it means. And Toomey asked another good question. Again, we ask it here all the time. Isn't there a lot of information embedded in the price of those bonds? And likewise, a lot of information embedded in the yields of those bonds or notes or bills? And of course the answer is yes. It's called the pricing system. It's called price discovery. A lot of information embedded in a price, in a yield. So wouldn't putting caps on this, Mr. Chairman, wouldn't that send distortionary signals out into the marketplace, which could cause serious negative consequences down the line? Can't answer it. Can't tell the truth. Because, of course, the answer is yes. It is distortionary. It will cause serious negative consequences down the line. It will have negative consequences for insurance companies, for pension funds, for retirees, anybody attempting to save. Now, why don't they ask him if he has a savings account? Ask him if he has savings. And then ask him why, if he says yes. What's good as savings? Go spend everything, right? You want everybody else to spend their money. Why do you have a savings account? Aren't you an American? Aren't you patriotic? Do your duty, man, and spend everything you got. Be like everybody else that doesn't have $400 to their name in the event of an emergency. Come on, you work for the American people, don't you? Be like every other American. So those were some tough questions. Give credit where credit is due. That's to Senator Pat Toomey. We'll see if he keeps it up. And of course, what's going to be done after the fact is, you know, nothing. He's not going to be overruled. They're going to continue buying bonds, at least on the secondary market. Just wait. Again, we discussed this yesterday. They got a number of these emergency facilities waiting in the wings. So any day, if there's some type of market sell-off, just like yesterday, we're going to come out and we're going to say we're going to use one of them. Even though we don't have to, because we tell you that everything's fine. Markets are functioning. We got to get those stocks up. So you wait. We get a down day somehow. Another few percentage points, something sharp. They'll come out. They'll make an announcement. Oh, now we're going to buy bonds directly using the primary facility. We're just going to buy them directly. Whoever wants to issue it, we're going to buy it. If we like them, if they're in the good old boys club. Well, whose bonds did you... Oh, we're not going to tell you whose bonds we bought. We're not going to disclose that information. But we're going to buy them. We're going to bail out the bondholders. We're going to bail out the corporations. We're going to give them lower borrowing costs. And of course, this is the ratings agencies dropping the ball once again, because we know before all of this shenanigans, all of this got started, we know there were a number of corporations who were just on the precipice, on the edge of being downgraded to junk status. So while the Fed might be in the secondary bond market, and of course they call this investment grade, they're really buying a lot of junk too. Because if the ratings agencies had done their job, which of course they're not, most of these bonds would be rated junk. And now you got the Federal Reserve buying them. But why not? They're buying treasuries. Treasuries are junk too. So why not? Why not buy corporate junk as well? But it's investment grade, that's what they tell you. But don't worry, another down day in the stock market. It could be the primary stuff, it could be directly from corporate bonds, or it could be the junk bonds as well. Well, we're going to go buy those directly too. Again, they got a number of these facilities just waiting on the sidelines to actually be used. A few months ago, it was announced that we're going to do XYZ. Maybe stocks go down, oh, now we're going to finally use something. Another question that was asked, not by Toomey, but by others, how to deal with the size of the balance sheet? Good question. Fair question. You know, Mr. Powell, $4.5 trillion balance sheet, $4 trillion balance sheet, you know, that was high. You guys were trying to go off of, you know, we're going to be on autopilot. We're going to allow the balance sheet to roll off. Downsize it, get it back to normal, whatever that meant. Because prior to all of this QE shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen, we discussed this. balance sheet was about 800, 900 billion. So what's normal? 1 trillion? So you're going to go from 4.5 trillion down to 1 trillion? 2, what was the magical number? Well, we didn't find out because Wall Street and the president had a conniption. And they paused that, and now we're over 7 trillion. So if you couldn't normalize at 4.5, how are you going to normalize at 7? And we're not done. This balance sheet is likely to be in the double digits. $10 trillion, maybe more. Jay Powell has no problem with it. He was concerned during the years of quantitative easing when he was just another governor, another member of the board of the Federal Reserve. He was chairman. He was concerned. Now, COVID-19, global pandemic, let's justify the unjustifiable. It doesn't matter. $4.5 trillion was too big. Got to get it down to normal. $7 trillion, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. And his excuse, his justification was like, well, once we bounce back and GDP picks up, well, as a percentage of GDP, our balance sheet won't be that bad. That is called bull you know what. What an excuse. He says it right to our faces. Let's print $250 billion for this bond program. Let's print $200 billion for that one. Let's add a few hundred billion. Let's add a few thousand billion, which means a few trillion to the balance sheet because we're buying junk bonds from Uncle Sam, because we're buying mortgage-backed securities at record paces. Just keep it going. $7 trillion is nothing to sneeze at. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine. Don't worry about the debt. Don't worry about the $4 trillion deficit. $4 trillion deficit that we're going to have this year alone. It will be more than that. Little perspective, that's the size of Germany. You understand that? It took this country, I think, until 1991, 1992, depending on how you want to round it, for this country to have a national debt of $4 trillion. And of course, the national debt is an accumulation of annual deficits. 1776 to 1992 to get to $4 trillion on a national debt. Now that's going to be our annual deficit for this year alone. And now you have the White House talking about another $1 trillion in infrastructure. On top of the other $2 trillion, which is what we discussed yesterday with the stimulus spending bill, yet to be defined. And of course, the Democrats, the House at least passed their $3 trillion monstrosity a couple weeks ago. No support from the Republicans on that one, but they're going to get together. Something's going to get done. It's an election year. You can have fiscal conservatives now coming out of the woodwork pretending to be fiscal conservatives. Well, we got to stop this nonsense. Oh, really? Didn't say that a few months ago. And now you have two of the biggest idiots we've ever had to deal with in this country, Ben Bernanke and Janet Yellen, amongst over 100 other economists, signing a letter imploring Congress to prevent prolonged suffering and stunted economic growth. These two mastermind idiots, criminals, Bernanke and Yellen, amongst, over 130 economists here, signing a letter imploring Congress to do more. With what money? They don't have it. The American people don't have it. Prolonged suffering, to prevent prolonged suffering and stunted economic growth. No. The more Congress does, the more they guarantee prolonged suffering and stunted economic growth. Where does Congress, where does the government get the money? From you. You are part of the productive economy. You have to produce a good. You have to offer a service. That's production. If they take more of your money, they're taking more production out of the system for them to decide who are the winners and the losers. And in that transition, you got to go through all of that political rigmarole. Who gets what? How much? When do they get it? Who oversees it? All takes time, all takes money. It's throwing one wrench after the next into the machine, clogging it up, gumming it up. Don't these people understand this, or do they understand it and they don't care? Is that what they want? Plain as day, as we outlined here a couple weeks ago, reading various pages of Murray Rothbard's book when it comes to the history, the economic history of this country. And we were focused on the Great Depression, one policy after the next, one program after the next. If it was millions then, it's billions today. If it was billions then, it's trillions today. Causing, sowing the seeds for the Great Depression. And now they're calling it again. And you got Bernanke, he's supposed to be a brainchild. He's supposed to be a genius scholar of the Great Depression. Well, did he not pick up on this? And of course the answer is no. Or if he did, he doesn't care. And they're right back at it. This dynamic duo with a whole host of over 100 economists who clearly don't have any appreciation for history either. Who clearly don't know where money comes from. If you take it out of the hands of those who are productive, that by definition is going to prolong any type of economic suffering and create stunted economic growth. By definition, the government doesn't create, it takes. You create. You innovate. You offer products and services. The government's got to take a piece of that from you so they can do what they're doing, which is nonsense, which has accumulated to $26 trillion in a national debt, to endless wars, to countless amounts of fraud and abuse and corruption, to nepotism. Nothing to show for it. At least if there was something to show for it. But there isn't. Infrastructure, what's that going to do? That's not stimulus, ladies and gentlemen. It's an investment. It takes time. If you got to repair a road, that means traffic is getting slowed down. That ain't stimulative. That's slowing it down. Got to reroute people, got to put new pipes in the ground. That's a good thing, but it's not stimulative. It's an investment. So that when everything is said and done, assuming that the costs are contained and managed well, that it'll pay for itself in time. That you will get goods and people to point A to point B more effectively, more efficiently, more safely. That's the goal. That's not stimulus. That's an investment. Is it needed? Yes. But to sell it as any type of stimulus is a joke. And $1 trillion, that ain't even going to do it for what this country needs coast to coast. And we've discussed that on a previous podcast as well. It's going to be a few trillion. But you got to start somewhere. And we'll see what that comes to, if this is just a political talking point, if this is just a headline in an attempt to get stocks up, that there's going to be more fiscal stimulus, more spending. Who knows? Can't take these people seriously. But here's another one for you, too. Deutsche Bank is out with another study. 20% of companies are zombies. 20% of companies are zombies. Now, this is probably meaning publicly traded companies, but nonetheless, that's a good sample size to extrapolate that out to non-publicly traded companies as well. 20% are zombies. That means their debt interest expenses exceeds their profits. 20%. That is going to prolong the suffering and stunted economic growth because you have companies that are not making profits. Right now, they should be going through bankruptcy. They should be deleveraging. But you can't have that. Can't have that. No, no, no. Not in this economy. Not in this system. You have to print more. Got to spend more. We don't have it. Got to save the states who were reckless and have been reckless for generations, in one administration after the next. Got to do it. Democrats, Republicans, Republicans, Democrats. All squandered, all wasted. Yep, bail them out. Corporations squandered their resources. Bail them out. Who'd you give the money to? Not going to tell you. Did those executives, did they pay themselves handsome bonuses? Not going to tell you. We're not going to tell you. Yeah, but it's our money. We're not going to tell you. Get the picture? They don't care what you think. They don't care what you think. They don't care what you think. And they're doing it anyway. Sure, we don't need to do these policies, these emergency facilities. But we're going to. We're going to do it anyway. We don't need to control this, that, or the other. But we're going to anyway. This country's gone. This is the United States of something, but it's not America. I can guarantee you that. It's not even close. 20% companies are zombies. You think about that. They're not profitable. And stocks keep going up. How can this be? Stock prices are supposed to be a function of cash flow. They're supposed to be a function of profitability. They're not profitable. Should be going out of business. It should be restructuring. That's the proper ticket. That's the proper answer. Higher interest rates are the answer. The market is to pick the winners and the losers. Not central bankers, not politicians. But that's the system, folks. That's what we described when we were discussing the creation of the Federal Reserve and what they've done during their history, what they did during the Great Depression in conjunction with Congress and the administrations during that time period. Follow the money and ask who benefits. It's a club. You ain't in it. And they're doing it anyway. Hits just keep on coming, folks. Write your letters. Mr. Senator, if you are listening, thank you. You have my contact information. Contact me. I'll meet you in any one of your offices. Happy to do it and give you my 2 cents. I don't drink coffee, so you don't even have to buy me a cup of coffee. Philly, Pittsburgh, Erie, Washington, D.C. Let's have a conversation. Let's write some real questions next time Jay Powell's in front of you or Mnuchin's in front of you. Grow a spine. Stay with it. This is a joke. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.